This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today is the 3rd of May 2019. It is also International Press Freedom Day. I'm joined in studio today by
Frida Liu,
Arvind Viraj.
We'll be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock. Defending press freedom can be quite difficult, can be quite hard. Sometimes you have to defend people you don't necessarily agree with, people that you have even behaved unethically sometimes. But as journalists, you have to defend their right to say these things. So we're going to be having a little bit of a discussion about that, about whether or not social media outlets, social media companies should have the right to kind of police what they curate. Should social media be responsible for their news curation? It's a divisive topic, which we'll have plenty of discourse on throughout the afternoon. Now, I've noticed that we asked you guys to give us some feedback, and of course, you've been a little bit quiet on this topic. Understandably, if we were to talk about food, you guys would be all over it. But, you know, press freedom might not be resonating with you so much.
On a Friday, right?
On a Friday. But, you know, this thing, it does affect you, and it affects your businesses. It affects... You know, all kinds of stuff. And we'll kind of get to some of those points a little bit throughout the show. So that's the topic that we are running with. You know, should social media be responsible for news curation? We'll also be talking about how Malaysia gets a surge of freedom of the press.
Yep.
And then freedom of expression is good for business. That's what we'll be wrapping up with, something that's very important. So let's start off with the first story. 018-789-8899 is the number if you want to take part in the discussion via WhatsApp. On Twitter and Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Now, we've spoken many times on this show, and I know that Matt and Jeff have spoken about it in Tech Talk and MSP and a few other bits and pieces about... what we would call dangerous individuals over on social media. And this is a piece come out of the BBC, how Facebook are banning several prominent figures it regards as, quote, dangerous individuals. They've accused Alex Jones, who's the host of right-wing conspiracy website InfoWars, its UK editor Paul Joseph Watson, and ex-Breitbart News editor Milo Yiannopoulos of Hate Speech. Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam's leader, has also expressed anti-Semitic views, will also be excluded. He's not on his own there, is he? There's a few other people we could put into that category. Facebook have already banned anti-Islamic UK groups like Britain First. The latest ban also applies on Instagram, which Facebook owns. Here's a quote. "We've always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate, regardless of ideology," the company has said in a statement. "The process for evaluating potential violators is extensive, and it is what led us to our decision to remove these accounts today." There's been a whole bunch of stuff banned as well. So white supremacists, anti-Islamic activists, all kinds of different backgrounds, different flavors. But, you know, it's like we said, defending the rights of journalists who we may disagree with, even journalists who may have behaved unethically, views we view as abhorrent, journalists who express sympathy for political groups that are engaged in violence or even terrorism, rights of journalists who've been negligent, compromised and corrupt, even call on governments to deliver justice for journalists who have been suspected or killed by one criminal organization for taking a bribe. I mean, we're constantly reminded of the very real and very serious consequences for free speech online. It makes it possible for government-run information operations, hate speech, mass harassment and trolling, and the share of propaganda and violent content by extremists and terrorist groups. But what you've got to remember is actually what's at stake. Things like regulating, controlling, and managing the harmful effects of speech means ceding authority to governments and corporations who may, of course, abuse that power. They're often short-term benefits. Terrible speech is suppressed. But be mindful of the long-term consequences that censorship and the suppression of critical speech has, including journalism. You know, you've got to look at stuff like what happened over in Sri Lanka. You know, the immediate response to shutting down social media, which for the short term did what it needed to do. But there were people in Sri Lanka and there were families outside of Sri Lanka who wanted to know what was happening. And they could find no information online. And for everybody else, it kind of looked like the government were being very heavy-handed because the government may not have handled the situation very well. That's part of the argument. I'm not taking sides, but that's part of the argument. And so when people start becoming critical of that government not doing what they think they should be doing, people are going to start posting stuff online. They're going to start discussing it and having a bit of... They're going to have a point of view, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happens? They shut it down immediately. Nobody can say whether they've been good or whether they've been bad. It's a journalist's job to say, this is not happening correctly. Why is the government not reacting the way that they should be doing?
Yeah.
It's a citizen's responsibility to read that piece of news and then make an informed decision or judgment based on the facts that have been reported. Right?
Yeah.
So in the case of Sri Lanka, right, I think it was for a short term, and the worry is that, you know, what's going to happen with social media is going to be, it will blow out of proportion, that sort of thing. And I think they quickly went back on again. And I guess if you needed to communicate with someone, there's always WhatsApp and phone calls.
They were blocked too. WhatsApp was blocked, but phone calls you could.
Okay, right. So you've got some sort of communication, but you can just see all these images from an old video being spread around, that kind of thing. And I know where they're coming from, and maybe for the short term they had to do that because it was a very sad situation. That's the thing, right? Because I know these things just get spread, it gets really blown up proportion than it is, or and everybody needed to stay calm.
Right.
So that it's tough. It's not the world it was 10 years ago. You know?
Yeah. Or even 30, 40 years ago. If you remember that picture, I'm sure you're all familiar with it. Vietnamese picture from the Vietnam War. Mm. There's a girl running towards the camera, naked. She's burnt very badly.
Yeah.
That image was fairly recently taken off of Facebook because of their nudity guidelines, right? But in the 70s, that picture had massive impact to sway public opinion and to help pull the US out of that war, right? And that kind of impact is sometimes what is needed for public opinion to be swayed.
Right. Yeah, and the public needs to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
So then there's that argument of, did the public need to see what was happening over in New Zealand?
Right. No. Okay. Yeah. So this is the guy who did it all on Facebook Live, right? We lived in such simpler times then.
Exactly. Things were a lot simpler, right? Mm-hmm. So we didn't have to see these things. These things were not around, you know. But now when everything is thrown out there, should we be saying to Facebook, okay, we don't want to see this anymore, you know?
Right.
Please take this down as soon as you... I would not ever want to see that.
Okay, I'm looking at what the whole Facebook story as well, and these are, and I get what they're trying to say, because I'm like, really, you know, there's freedom of speech. Can't I say what I want to say? But I guess where they're coming from here, organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate, right? So regardless of ideology. So I think that's probably the idea. If the person's sort of encouraging violence and encouraging hate, that should be stopped, right? And regardless of your faith or regardless of whatever your beliefs are, I think when you have your certain beliefs, because I wouldn't like someone to say, you know, I believe in this, and then you were to tell me that this is wrong based on your opinion. But if I'm inciting violence, then I think, you know, that's where you make this judgment call. But it's tough, right?
Right.
Who made you judge, jury, and
executioner?
So that's the thing, right? So we have to decide what we want social media to be. Like, you know, what we want Facebook to be. Is it going to be like a platform run by people for people? Because then it becomes a P2P network. It becomes like one of those torrent sites. Yeah. And there's no one monitoring anything. Like, you know, it's not safe. Mm. It's pretty much up to you if you want to use sites like that or not, because the content is not curated or monitored by anyone. Mm. If that's where you want social media to be, then there's no censorship. Then we should be open to seeing anything and everything if we log on to the site. But if we want it to be like a safe space for everyone to use, and I think that's what Facebook wants to be in the long run, then it has to censor. Like if it finds an Alex Jones, it has to make sure that he doesn't have a voice on that platform if he's being dangerous to other people or if he's meaning harm to other people or other groups of people.
Mm.
So, and the other thing is, I think social media also has to define what news is, right? Like Jeff came back from a study program in the US, and he put it nicely. He said that the one thing that he learned, or one of the biggest things he learned, was saying there's a difference between commentators and journalists. Mm. Like, you have to know which is which. Alex Jones is a commentator. Yeah. Like, he doesn't go and investigate anything. He just paraphrases what the actual journalists have gone and picked up, or he twists it to his own ideology. So even that is difficult. So social media has to know, like, is Stephen Colbert like a news source, or is he just a commentator? Like, is he just just like an entertainer telling you your piece of news the way you want to hear it.
Right.
Yeah. And we've seen, and we were talking about this briefly off air, we've seen research that has shown that public opinion is swayed far more by people who are commentators than it is of journalists and experts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you have somebody like Colbert and you have somebody like Alex Jones, the chances are people are more likely listening to their opinion than they are to people like the Washington Post or you know, the New York Times or whatever. And I suppose for a lot of people, that can be seen as quite dangerous, which is why we are seeing Alex Jones being closed down and other outlets like what he's doing being closed down, because people are genuinely worried that they're going to listen to this guy. You know?
Because of the way he conveys the message.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is sort of like bled into like even the Washington Post and the New York Times as well, because now the way they do the articles is more, I wouldn't say clickbaity, but it has
but
more
it's
sizzle.
It's clickbaity.
It is clickbaity because they have to compete with people like this.
Like Fox News. You watch anything on Fox News, and, you know, and you're not entirely sure where the TV show ends and the news begins. You know, it all becomes this kind of melange of entertainment.
Even I remember back when
that's your opinion.
I remember back when the MH370 when it just happened, and then when we switched to CNN, those guys were doing this weird thing of having like not a hologram, like, but like a picture of the plane, and they were like turning it around, and they started talking about things like Lost and sci-fi and all, you know, so it became like borderline, like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, this isn't news, this is just purely opinion, and you're connecting it to stuff that makes very little sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Alright, we're going to take a short break, folks, on that. 018-789-8899 if you want to join the discussion. You can also get us on Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Continuing this talk, when we come back, we've also got a clip from somebody you interviewed who's coming up. What's his name?
Glenn Van Zutphen.
That'll be coming up all very shortly. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu.
I'm in your brunch.
It is World Press Freedom Day today. We are discussing, should social media be responsible for news curation? Should we worry about the stuff that Facebook decides to publish, or should we also be worrying about what they decide not to publish, you know? Should we allow hate speech on the platform? Should it just be there for the sake of it being freedom of speech and freedom of expression? Or should we take it down? And should we expect companies like Facebook to be taking it down? Should we be babied by these companies? We've seen a lot. Frida.
Oh, okay. This is an article.
We're continuing the discussion. This guy that you spoke to, his name, Glenn Van
Zutphen. So he was previously with Channel News Asia and also with the CNN. And then so we were just having a conversation on how things have changed in this close to 30 years. He's come out now for the last over 10 years to do a lot of coaching with executives on what to say and, you know, understanding that the landscape has changed and all that. But this was a conversation we had, I believe, about, you know, we're talking about how have the likes of CNN and Fox, you know, transpired, and whether that has sort of changed yet.
He was also talking about the idea of Facebook having news channels as well. That was something that we found interesting. So let's have a listen to that.
Interestingly, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg just announced that Facebook is looking at a paid tab that traditional news organizations would pay to be on basically a kind of a separate channel, as I understand it, on Facebook, where they would be vetted and considered to be trusted news sources, trusted in quotes, right? Who's the trust coming from? And so they're trying to create a sub-channel or an extra channel where people know that they could go and definitely get reliable news. It could be the left, it could be the right, wherever. So that's interesting. If that kind of thing happens, of course, you know, my comment on that is, well, why isn't all the news on Facebook trusted? You know, why do we have to go to a special tab, right? But anyway, I haven't heard an answer from Mark Zuckerberg on that yet. I'm still waiting. Mark, if you're out there, please get in touch with me. But so, you know, we're going to see people, you know, and to keep engaging with these media sources to find out how they can become more trusted, or, you know, how we can trust them more and how they can be, you know, more accurate.
Okay, so Facebook having a paid tab for, I guess, approved news sources.
Approved by who?
That's yeah,
that, that's
yeah.
my first question.
Okay, so that's the other thing as well. I was just saying that you know how Jimmy Wales have come up with Wikinews, right? And Wikinews is supposed to be unbiased news, and I think they still work. I think they work on the same model of no advertising. So whether is that then the best way to go? I mean, if we look at Wikipedia, there's no advertisements, right? So then there the idea that it is going to be as neutral as possible. That was the basic premise of, is that the way to go? Because do we then move to the direction because these people are paying us? And so we move in a certain direction, certain parties own us. And then so we have to sort of move our news to a certain angle, that sort of thing, you know?
There's no easy way to do it, I think. Because even if Facebook curates, it's going to lean, you know, either one way.
And then like you are on Twitter, not you particularly. But
Twitter or Reddit, anything. Even if you leave it to the people or the users to vote and see which they like, then it makes it's the bubble war again. Like it's like what you like versus what I like.
Right.
So there's no actual easy way to curate news. And there's no actual easy way to actually filter news because, like we said, there's commentary and then there's journalism.
I mean, and let's be honest, you know, we have our own favorite news sources, right? And whether or not that's because they play into the bubble that we want to be a part of. I'd like to look at stuff kind of impartially. I like to read news that shows me both sides of an argument and both sides of a news piece. And I think that's the only real way that you can actually get an accurate representation of what the news story is. And then you can form your own opinion. Mm-hmm. But we've seen, particularly here in Malaysia, I think it was something like 70% of Malaysians who were polled only ever read the headline. What good is that? Especially when you are looking at local news sources, which, as we know, are fairly polarized. You know, the English language websites tend to be on one side of the spectrum, where the Malay language websites and news tend to be on the other side. So it's very difficult to kind of, you know, form a good opinion, I think, if you're only ever reading the headlines.
Right. And even like if people who just refer to the news by looking at Facebook, for example, the algorithms will be that such that it'll be things that you normally look out for and it reaffirms whatever you believe. You're not going to see something different. And your friends will probably be of the same mindset, that sort of thing, you know? Yeah. So
it's funny you say that, actually, because I've added some friends and family recently to my Facebook who have vastly opinions to mine.
Right. Different opinions.
Yeah, in terms of immigration, for example, over in the UK. And my first instinct when I saw what they were posting was to delete and block it. But then I thought to myself, no, I can't do that.
Right.
You know, as long as that is not appearing on my other friends' walls and I'm not tagged in these things, I should allow these things onto my wall to read it.
Yeah.
To inform myself what other people are thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
But then again, what news sources are they sharing?
That's
another thing. Is it legit sources or, you know?
I mean, from the Daily Mail.
Yeah, exactly. And it's almost like the same argument that we've used here of, you know, don't forward the forward. You know, they're doing it everywhere else as well.
Yeah, I mean, just recently, what the U.S. Visa waiver thing became a hot topic. Yeah. Like everyone,
Roger Moore passing away as well. You know, that's the story 2 years old, and people are sharing it today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Frida's looking at me in shock
because he's come out a few times.
He's come out a few times.
It's like Morgan Freeman.
He's still around, by the way.
Yeah, just
to be clear. Get in touch, folks. 08789
You're all very quiet
today. We are at BFM Radio, and
we'll talk about food after this.
We'll talk about food. Yeah, but you know, we've spoken about this, the idea of hate speech and racism and xenophobia, and how talk like that affected stuff like Brexit, because that news that was published over there was inaccurate, and people were taking
sides.
They were picking up on snippets of news and responding emotionally to what was being said. You know, the idea of hate speech is something that I have difficulty kind of swallowing. You know, but we could argue, and this is a very delicate situation. I need to kind of teeter around this, that some of the things that our current Prime Minister is saying would be, in other countries, classified as hate speech.
right? And this is this is freedom of speech, right? It's World Press Freedom Day. So this is something that he said late last year. It came out in Reuters and major newspapers as well, where our prime minister described Jews as hook-nosed and blamed them for creating the troubles in the Middle East. So he is the world's oldest head of government, as we know, after starting his second stint as prime minister in May, has for decades been accused of anti-Semitism for his attacks against Jews, whom he's accused of perpetrating a humanitarian crisis in Palestinian territory. So, this was in BBC's Hard Talk. If you're going to be truthful, the problem in the Middle East has began with the creation of Israel. That is the truth, but I cannot say that, which he did. Anyway, so then again, right?
Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah. And we have to kind of sit behind that and go, if that's what you believe and if that to you is fact, we have to grit our teeth and just say, okay.
That is your truth, right?
That's your truth. On that note, let's take a break. 018-789-8899 if you want to discuss with us on WhatsApp. We are on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. Some music coming up from the Yardbirds with Over, Under, Sideways, Down. It sounds like a video game code. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.